From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, 7,107 islands, that's a lot of islands, not all of them occupied, Manila. Hey there, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, Friday night, Saturday morning edition. I'm filling in for George Norrie, who has a well-deserved day off this day. He doesn't take very many days off, that's for sure. So I get a three-day weekend, 3 days with all of you. And it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be a very interesting night. The webcam photograph, late breaking news first. Earthquake, Andaman Islands, India region, not a good place. Andaman Islands, 6.1, no word, that just happened. No word on any tsunami alerts or anything like that. But I see the Philippines and all over Southeast Asia, we are alive with activity in the ground. A lot of earthquakes, one here in the Philippines as well. The web camera photograph this night, you can see by going to coasttocoastam.com, and I think they will have Art's webcam on tonight, is of Dolly, our newest acquisition, this little noisemaker. You may well hear her tonight. What's happened is that Dolly and Abby have fallen in love. Now, I don't say this lightly. We think they're lovers, not in the biblical sense, because she's only 5 months, but in every other sense, they are inseparable. When we took Dolly to get shots, Abby went berserk. And likewise, if Abby is not to be seen, even in another room, Dolly will begin crying to the point where you think she's had a knife that's just gone through some part of her body. And Abby will immediately become alert and go running to Dolly like, "What's wrong, little girl?" So that's Dolly. That's those little marks on her nose are play wounds. Some of them are from before we got her. She is a Philippine cat. She is a Filipina. And so they are war wounds, some of them. And some of them have been acquired here in the act of play. Not fighting, but play. It is Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas here in the Philippines, in Southeast Asia, is incredible. And I mean incredible. 87% of the population here in the Philippines is, of course, Catholic. And so you cannot possibly imagine what it is like here. We went to a mall yesterday. Big mistake. When I say there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands, there was not elbow room. This is a big mall. We have big, big malls here, bigger than the U.S. Maybe there's one, I think, up in the upper Midwest that might, for example, exceed the size of what we call the Mall of Asia here. But the Mall of Asia is, I think, the second largest in all of Asia, and it is monstrous. And, oh, baby, let me tell you, there is not elbow room. Filipinos are out in the millions, shopping, last-minute Christmas shopping. It is berserko here. Fireworks every night leading up to a crescendo at the new year. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing what's going on out there. Christmas here is what it is like in the U.S. times about 10. It's just unbelievable. Everything is decorated. All the buildings, the giant skyscrapers in Makati are all decorated. The full buildings are decorated. It's a doggone sight you ever saw in your whole life. Now, this is, of course, the end of the year, and it is traditionally a time when we, on Coast to Coast AM, reflect. And we will reflect next week in doing the predictions for 2007 and reviewing the psychic knowings of you all for the previous year, about 2006. Always kind of fun to do. But we might reflect in a different kind of way this night. I recently, you know, I'm an avid reader. I read and I read and I read. And recently I read a book by my friend Dean Kuntz called Life Expectancy. I wonder how many of you have ever read this book. It's really interesting. By the way, in case you didn't know, open lines all night long tonight. Open lines. Life expectancy is about this man named Tock. Let me read you what it says in the back of the book. Life expectancy. Before he died on a storm-racked night, Jimmy Tock's grandfather predicted there would be 5 very dark days in his grandson's life. 5 dates whose terrible events Jimmy must prepare himself to face. The first is to occur in his 20th year, the last in his 30th. What terrifying events await Jimmy on these 5 critical days? What challenges must he survive? The path he follows will defy every expectation and will take all the love, humor, and courage he possesses for who Jimmy Tock is and what he must accomplish on the 5 days his world turns is a mystery, both dangerous and wondrous. It is an amazing book. If you get a chance to pick up Life Expectancy, Dean Koontz, of course, I had on the air and interviewed. He's really a cool guy. He's my kind of guy. He writes my kind of book. And since this is sort of a time of reflection, I thought we might open all lines tonight. Any line, I don't care. I won't make it a special line. We'll make it a special topic. And if you can get through on any of the lines, fair enough. What have been the best and the absolute worst days of your entire life? Do a little reflection on that. Again, what have been the best and the worst, the horrendous days, the day when you just can't believe you're alive, or if it gets any worse, you won't be, that kind of day. And then, of course, the most joyous day, the most wonderful day of your life. That book made me think that would make a pretty good topic for open lines. Let us review the state of the world. Never good, but I guess we're required to do so. In Baghdad, insurgents attacked 5 more American troops west of the Iraqi capital, according to the military, on Friday, making December the 2nd deadliest month for U.S. servicemen in 2006. So far this month, 76 Americans have died in Iraq, same number that were killed in all of April. With 9 days remaining in December, the monthly total of U.S. deaths could meet or exceed the death toll of 105 in October. The district attorney dropped rape charges Friday against 3 Duke University lacrosse players after the stripper who accused them changed her story yet again. But the men still face kidnapping and sex charges that could bring more than 30 years in the pokey. What a mess in Colorado, huh? Denver's snowed-in airport reopened Friday for the first time in 2 days, but the backlog of flights around the country could take all weekend to clear. Many of the nearly 5,000 holiday travelers stranded might not make it home for Christmas. As planes finally began taking off again, passengers with long-standing reservations filled most of the outbound flights. Bad news it was for those waiting to rebook flights canceled during the storm. Space Shuttle Discovery and its 7 astronauts returned safely to Earth on Friday after a bit of last-minute suspense over which landing site to use, closing out a year in which NASA finally got construction of the International Space Station back on track. Its arrival announced by its signature twin sonic booms. Welcome back to Earth. With 8 Marines charged in connection with the deaths of 24 Iraqi civilians, the Marine Corps sent a clear message to its officers they're going to be held accountable for the actions of their subordinates. In the biggest U.S. criminal case involving civilian deaths to come out of the Iraq War so far, 4 of the Marines, all enlisted, were charged Thursday with unpremeditated murder. Oh, Kansas Attorney General, a vocal abortion opponent, charged a well-known abortion provider with illegally performing late-term abortions, but a Sedgwick County judge on Friday threw out the charges after less than a day. Judge Paul W. Clark dismissed the charges against Dr. George Tiller at the request of Sedgwick County District Attorney Nola Folston, who said her office had not been consulted by Attorney General Phil Klein. And here is a cute little Christmas story for you. A couple accused of forcing some of their 11 adopted special needs children to sleep in wood and wire cages, oh my God, were convicted Friday, good, of endangerment and abuse. Cheryl Gravel and her husband, Michael, showed no reaction in the courtroom as the guilty verdicts were read. The jury convicted 4 felony counts of child endangering, 7 misdemeanor counts, each acquitted of 13 charges, including 4 felony endangering charges. My God. Santa has lots going against him. He really does, right? Schoolyard rumors, well, that was always true. Older brothers who think they know the deal and tattle to the younger ones, errant price tags, then, of course, the tell-all internet. And so many made-in-China labels, it seems the North Pole has been outsourced to Asia. Hamburgers everywhere. But no worries, it's a wonderful life for Santa, and he will survive for Christmas. More of the world and your calls coming up in a moment. Oh my God. I hope I'm going to be able to make it through this. I had just had a very interesting experience. Because of the way I do the program, I don't use a traditional microphone. I don't like them. I use a microphone headset made by, everybody always asks me, made by the Beyer Company, which is German, and I've used that all my life. That allows me to kind of move around, you know, and be mobile, and that always keeps me the exact same distance from the microphone. But because I use this, there's a microphone obviously always in front of my mouth, and the only way I can drink coffee during the show, one of the last vices that I'm allowing myself, is to have a cup with a top on it and a straw in the cup. And I just took a big swig of coffee. And I fell on the floor. Then I unscrewed the top of the coffee and looked in and saw that it was still bubbling, as in boiling. So, my tongue right now feels as though, actually, it doesn't feel much of anything. It's kind of like leather. So, I hope I'll be all right. My God, that was hot. Usually, I don't do that. Usually, I let the coffee just sit there until, you know, the second hour and then begin sipping it a little bit. This time, I screwed up. Definitely screwed up. Just one more item before we go to the phones. The evidence is mounting. If you're a ham radio operator, listen up. Even if you're not, listen up. If you're an Ed Dames fan or an Ed Dames hater, listen up. Scientists predict big solar cycle. Dateline December 21st, 2006. Boy, you really need your tongue to talk, huh? Evidence is mounting. The next solar cycle is going to be a big one. Solar cycle 24, due to peak in 2010 or 2011, looks as though it's going to be one of the most intense cycles since record-keeping began 400 years ago. All this according to solar physicist David Hathaway of the Marshall Space Flight Center. He and a colleague presented this conclusion last week at the American Geophysical Union meeting in San Francisco. Their forecast is based on historical records of geomagnetic storms. Hathaway explains, when a gust of solar wind hits Earth's magnetic field, the impact causes the magnetic field to shake. If it shakes hard enough, then we call it a geomagnetic storm in the extreme. These storms cause power outages, make compass needles swing in the wrong direction. Auroras are the beautiful side effect. Hathaway and Wilson looked at records of geomagnetic activity stretching back about 150 years and noticed something useful. The amount of geomagnetic activity now tells us what the solar cycle is going to be like 6 to 8 years in the future. A picture is worth 1,000 words. They have one there. I wasn't able to get it up on the website in time for you. They've got a new process. They don't know why it works, The underlying physics, they say, is a mystery, but it does work. According to their analysis, the next solar maximum should peak around 2010 with a sunspot number of 160. That's an average, plus or minus 25. That would make it one of the strongest solar cycles of the past 50 years, which is to say, by the way, one of the strongest in all of recorded history. Astronomers have been counting sunspots since the days of Galileo, watching solar activity rise and fall every 11 years, curiously. Four of the five biggest cycles on record have come in the past 50 years. Cycle 24 should fit right into that pattern, according to Hathaway. These results are just the latest signs pointing to a big cycle 24. Most compelling of all, believes Hathaway, is the work of Masumi Dipati and colleagues at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. They have combined observations of the sun's great conveyor belt with a sophisticated computer model of the sun's inner dynamo, to produce a physics-based prediction of the next solar cycle. In short, it's going to be really, really intense. Now, the reason that's good for ham operators is that means it's, I go back to when I was about 13 years old, would have been about 1958. There was no single sideband yet, which is an advance of those years since. And people were on AM, kind of like AM radio, just like an AM radio station, far less power. It was so cool that you were able to take 5 or 10 watts of inefficient AM, sorry guys, and talk to anybody anywhere in the world just about any time of day or night. It was so active, the bands that normally close at night didn't even close. They stayed open all night. You could talk to the whole world. And that would be the expectation that would attach itself to a big solar cycle. Now, there's one other thing that possibly attaches. For years now, Ed Dames has been, without the help of any physicists or predictive programs, been talking about what he calls a kill shot. He would have had no way of knowing about what's coming in terms of this solar this giant solar cycle. There were no predictions years ago when he began talking about it. So look out. She's coming around the bend. And it should be, for ham operators, a very, very interesting time. Let us go to the lines. Begin open lines. Anthony in California, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Anthony calling from the Santa Cruz Mountains in California.
Right. Got it.
my aunt knows an osteopath named Bruce. Mm. So Bruce came to her house with an EMF meter, and the meter detected a very high level of energy in one of the walls.
Oh.
It was just over 217 mg.
Uh-huh.
So my aunt then called a medical intuitive in Florida. And the intuitive said the energy was very smart and very negative and had been in the wall since 1988. The medical intuitive described this entity as being 8 feet tall and 10 feet wide. They said
in her wall.
Yeah, she said
good
it was.
Good Lord.
She said it was like a sophisticated flea. So, my aunt then called a feng shui practitioner, and and told her to have a look at this. So.
Well, at this point, why don't you call a carpenter and tear down the whole wall and get the sophisticated flea out of there?
So, that's what she said. This feng shui lady said that. So she called the feng shui lady, and but she couldn't really help her much. She just said just what you said. So my aunt tried to clear this energy by burning up some alcohol and Epsom salt.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But whenever she came to the wall, the flame blew out. The energy hasn't left the wall, and she says it may be causing her to have body aches and is destroying her immune system.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, and she says her husband's having a really hard time breathing these days. And her animals aren't feeling well either.
Enough is enough already, so tear the wall down.
Yeah, so, but she says whenever she leaves the house, they feel a lot better.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a hint, buddy. In other words, if she has aches, she has pains, and there's an electromagnetic pulsing giant flea in the wall, then you tear that sucker down, or you move, or you go to a motel, or you sell the house. Don't forget these days when you have electromagnetic pulsing fleas in the wall, you've got to advise the buyers of that situation. Anyway, we're looking for those of you who would like to describe the very best and the very worst days of your entire life. From Manila, the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. You know, it's interesting. I actually, from about the middle of my tongue down to the tip, it's like it's not even there. I can't even feel it. Yeah, I hope it is. Yeah, it's there. But it's got a new coat on it or something. Or I have new skin on the front part of my tongue. Wonder if it will peel. I mean, this really was bad. I looked down into the coffee cup, and it was actually still boiling. So it was boiling water. Big mistake. All right, back with your. Don't forget, we're trying to solicit from you. Talking depends on the tongue, doesn't it? The very best and worst days of your life. If you can only think of one, either the best or the worst, that's fine. And all this comes as inspired by the Dean Koontz book called Life Expectancy, which I heartily recommend. So if you want to recite the best and worst days of your life, we are all ears. This is fairly serious, a small peeling of my tongue. It is actually in my finger here, on my finger. It never fails. It just absolutely never fails. All right, by the way, I understand from my screener that a disproportionate number of people were calling with the worst days of their life. Don't worry about that. I think they were, at the beginning, being rejected because, well, they didn't want a gloom fest, but... Well, I specialize in gloom fest, so if all you've got is the worst day of your life, hey, no problem. We'll take it. That's really what the book was about. It wasn't about good days. It was about bad days. I mean, it was amazing. Jimmy Talk, I don't want to give away the whole book, and I won't, but Jimmy Talk, who was born on the very day that his grandfather died, his grandfather sat up sort of in the last gasp of his life and demanded that 5 days be written down, 5 horrible days that were going to occur in Jimmy Talk's life. And without giving away any of the book, they were really, really, really horrible days. Just unbelievable. And all of them came true. The rest I will read... nothing at all from the book and give you nothing. You will have to go out and get it yourself. It's called Life Expectancy by Dean Koontz. All right, let's go west of the Rockies to Tommy, who apparently had a good and a bad day. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, Art. Well, I'm overwhelmed to talk to you again. The last time was when you came back from your hiatus, and it was on my birthday, and I was driving truck into Portland.
Mm-hmm.
That was many years ago, but okay. Thanks. Worst day, when I woke up drug addicted in a cardboard box in the rain in 1977 in San Rafael, California, and that was the end of my drug addiction. I've been 30 years now without...
How long had you been drug addicted?
Oh, God, I was a hippie street kid in Haight-Ashbury when I was 15 in 1967.
And you woke up in a cardboard box at what age?
Yeah. 29, 30, something like that.
That would have been the bottom. They say everybody needs to hit bottom, or in your case, I guess, cardboard, yeah.
Yeah, and the best day was on October the 14th. when my first child was born, a son. I hope our kids get to play together. You know, incredible synchronicity with my father was born on Friday the 13th in November.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner, she went into labor on Friday the 13th. And the Detroit Tigers, my father was a Detroit Tigers diehard fan. And when they made it to the playoffs, he had a heart attack and died from being so jubilant. And here they went again this year.
I guess there are worse ways to go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, then dying because he had a heart attack because you were so happy.
Yeah, and that's how they found him, with the smile on his face and his chair. And
oh, definitely.
Kid, you know?
Yeah, definitely worse ways to go than that. I always thought of the best ways you could go, one would be immediately after one of the best sexual experiences of your life. And a number of people do go that way. I don't know about other good ways to go, but there are no doubt many of them out there. I wonder if I should save this little piece of my tongue and put it under the pillow and have the expectation of pesos in the morning. All right, we're going to a worst day. Wild card line number 4, you have achieved the air. Robert in Burbank, hi.
Hi. I think this may top your gluing your lips together.
No. No, but it's right up there.
You're the most human person I've ever heard on the radio. I mean, whatever happens, you let everybody know. It's great.
Well, how can you not? You know, it's not like other programs. When you spend 4 hours on the radio, you know, stuff happens.
Something's going to happen. Well, yeah. Anyway, yeah, God, you're probably going to get a lot of bummer stories with this bad
day. No, that's all right. No, that's all right. That's what the book was all about. Okay. So there are days. And by the way, whatever it is that happened to you on this worst day, did you sense that it was going to be a horrible day before it happened?
Actually, you know what? Since you mentioned that, I was in a trance the whole day, and I almost died myself.
There you go.
You're right. You know, I didn't really put that together until you just mentioned that. That's weird. But I'll string this together real quick. I've had people, you know, I used to do some undercover work where I was actually, you know, ambushed and tried to kill. This is worse than that. It's actually worse when somebody you're close to dies than even yourself being threatened. I noticed that.
Right. Of course that's correct, yes.
It weighs on me. I mean, I've had guns drawn on me. People try to kill me at 80, 90 miles an hour on freeways. And this is what weighs on me every day. I had a girlfriend, you know how that is. You have a girlfriend, and she's always talking about marriage and stuff. Well, we've only known each other for like a year. I feel we got to know longer than that. And I couldn't say any reason why not to. She was just perfect, you know. I mean, it's like you got that feeling like you've been with this person your whole life. Everything you do and you like, she likes too. Even working on a car, she'd go out there and help me. It was bizarre. So, but she was a hippie, you know. She was a hippie type, and you know, hippies are. She strays away, you know. I talked about, look, if you don't want to hang around with me, you know, no, I like you. I know this, and then eventually I found her with my boss. That was it. You know, she was out with my boss.
Oh, you found her with your boss?
Yeah, but that's not even the worst part. That's not even the worst part.
Maybe she was just trying to get you a raise.
Yeah, right. I could go somewhere there. I'm not going to touch that one.
Yeah, don't.
I'm not going to touch that one.
So that was that, right?
Yeah, so I break up with her, right? And then she always talked about, you know, in your 1999, when it goes in 2000, she wanted to get married on that special date, right? So I always thought about that in my mind. I'm watching TV, you know, and it's a year later, and I'm watching TV. And I see this wedding that this people just got a horrible tragedy happened on TV where two people just got married and they're newlyweds are on a beach and his wife walks away near to a mountain and in a landslide buries his new wife. And the first thing that came into my mind, I'm thinking, oh my God, that's something that would happen to her because she used to always tell me how she wanted to be buried. And it's the weirdest thing. She goes, I want to be cremated, okay? I go, why are you talking about this? You're insane. I'm 7 years older than you. Stop talking about this. It's creepy. And then I, at that point, I swear, I'm not kidding, since then, that was 99, and I stopped watching TV. I haven't watched TV since. I don't own a television. That's why I'm listening to your show all the time. And time went by, and a few months go by, and I'm walking.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It wasn't her, was it?
No. This is what I'm getting to. The landslide that buried this guy's fiance. Now, after this happens, I walk. I'm in a trance. This is the day where the all hell breaks loose, where everything falls apart. I'm walking down the street, and I'm about 10 miles from my house, roughly about the same 10 miles from her house. Okay, and her mother, she had a subdivision in her house, and just where she lived. So her mother, a car is driving down the street. Okay, I'm walking. I'm in a trance. I'm looking down at the ground, and I'm like in a trance. I'm walking. A car nearly kills me. It barely touches my feet, the tires, at 35 miles an hour. And I put my head up and I hold my chest. I'm hyperventilating. Oh, my God, I almost got killed. I'm breathing, you know, real fast. And the car stops. And I go, that person really feels stupid. They almost killed me, you know. And the person getting out of the car was my girlfriend's mother. And she goes, my name is Robert. And I'm looking at her. I go, Kate? And at that point, I didn't really care. She almost killed me. I was just sort of weird that she's here, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And she runs up to me, and she had the weirdest look on her face, a blank look on her face. I go, what's wrong? She goes, well, my girlfriend was named Sarah. She goes, we lost Sarah. And I go, what do you mean, where is she? And she goes, she died. I go, well, you're kidding. And she told me she died in a landslide in Hawaii.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that qualifies, buddy. Absolutely qualifies to be right in the Dean Koontz book. Wow. That is bizarre. And you know when you're going to have one of these days? Maybe that's a good question for some of you who have had this horrible day in your life. And that is, my tongue is actually peeling, I think. Could you feel it coming on? Could you feel sort of a down, scary, prickly on the back of the neck, hair standing up type feeling before the actual occurrence of the worst day? Let's go here and say, Nick in Ontario, Canada, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And the worst day of my life probably would be when I was doing security at military contractor in Canada, and a fellow security officer invited me out to go drinking in Toronto one night, and I got loaded at a nightclub. He drove me to a red light district and flashed a badge. He said he worked for the National Security Agency, told me to pick up a prostitute. So I was so drunk in my mind.
Wait a minute. He told you to pick up a prostitute.
Yeah, a certain prostitute. He pointed her out, and I had sex, and I a couple of days later, a week later. I thought it had symptoms similar to HIV or AIDS.
Well, it doesn't come on that quickly, of course. Your HIV and AIDS, you know, it could take years to come on.
I know.
But I can understand you would feel bad. No, wait a minute. Back up a little bit. Why would you buy his story and not only pick up the prostitute, but then go ahead and have sex with her? Why?
I was kind of being belittled by my brothers. They're calling me names and stuff, and I was being pressured to lose my virginity and stuff. And I was starting to, you know, it was kind of sad. But, you know, anyway, the whole point is, like, 3 months later, I had the sensitivity to sunlight, hot chills, cold chills, sleep deprivation, rapid weight loss, all these symptoms. I decided to end my life, and I drove my Volkswagen Jetta into a concrete barrier on the highway 401 and DVP, rolled over several times, and I survived that accident with just a lap bruise on my lap. And a week later, I decided to go out to buy some booze to calm my nerves down. And a tractor, it was raining, and a tractor trailer mounted the curb and the sidewalk, and I turned around, and I heard a honking horn. I turned around, and I see this tractor trailer barreling down on me. And, you know, I just had enough time to throw the umbrella in the air and dive for cover behind the bus shelter. You know, as I thought, you know, maybe God's trying to kill me or something or teach me a lesson, you know. But anyway, to make a long story short, basically I got the new test results as negative, obviously. But the best day of my
Before you move on, wouldn't it I mean, why was it not prudent before you attempted suicide, thought you had HIV/AIDS, and then almost got killed, to take the test first?
And then if it
came back positive, then I could understand perhaps your actions. But
The doctor told me to wait 3 months for the antibodies to develop, but all of a sudden I came down with symptoms before that. And I don't know if in scientific terms, there's scientists were saying that there's what they call ARC, AIDS-related complex, that was happening. Mm-hmm. They're studying back then, but that's been thrown out the window since, that they say it doesn't exist. But I tested negative and stuff like that, but I came down with weird symptoms. It was almost demonic in nature, you know. I started looking like a bit like an alien with dark patches underneath my eyes. And 2 years later, when I was working security at another location at Mount Sinai, I was praying in the basement of my family's house, and I felt my spirit, I don't know if I was abducted or what, but I felt my spirit leave my body, and I was traveling through the solar system, and I saw a bright light, and it's just a hand pointing down with a finger, and I heard laughter, and it's almost at that point that everything was revealed to me in terms of what's going to happen in the latter days and stuff. And a couple of days later, I think 1 or 2 days later, I was in the basement watching TV, and all of a sudden I started communicating telepathically with the TV, and I was just laughing.
You were communicating telepathically with your television?
Literally, yeah. And with other people in bars and stuff. I'm saying I was sober at the time when I experienced this, but I was like, you can feel the vibes before they even speak on the TV. You know what they're about to say, you know. And it was the most pleasant feeling that you can experience. Nope. And when I was driving,
so that was your best day, right?
Well, let me just add a bit to it. The best day was when I was actually driving my car in Woodbridge, and I saw the sun just literally looked like it exploded into a million pieces. And when I was getting out of the vehicle, when I was washing my car, it looked like I was on the moon. Everything was in slow motion, and I thought it was the rapture. I literally thought it was the rapture, because it was just amazing. It was an amazing high, you know, and I've never done any drugs or anything like that. The most I've done is alcohol, but I didn't touch any alcohol or anything like that. I didn't do any drugs.
And, all right, well, that kind of thing can happen. It's not common, but there can be a sudden release of endorphins in your brain or something else that gives you that kind of an experience. Now, the AIDS thing is interesting. If you go back to the mid-80s, I was, of course, on the radio. And I had every AIDS expert in the world, just about, other than Dr. Fauci, I suppose. I don't think I ever had him. Otherwise, I had all of these AIDS experts on. And even I began to worry that, oh my God, I might have AIDS. Every little tiny mark on my body, every little anomaly of one sort or another, and I did so many shows on AIDS that it just scared the hell out of me. And I began to think over the sexual experiences of my lifetime. And for a while there, I too thought, boy, I hope I don't have it. I mean, they were talking about 10, 12, 13 years before you would begin to come down with the symptoms. It was a frightening time, a truly, truly frightening time. And you think back, and you think really hard about the experiences you had. And, of course, AIDS is, though not as scary as it once was, we thought that a good part of the world would die. And actually, of course, that is happening in sub-Saharan Africa. A high percentage are dying. Here in the West, we have come up with drugs that extend the average life expectancy, to use that phrase, of an AIDS patient quite considerably, and may eventually, come up with some sort of cure. Though, I was told in many interviews that when we come up with an AIDS cure, will be the very same day that we are able to give you an injection and change the color of your eyes. In other words, the AIDS virus is that complicated. That given to mutation, kind of like the cold virus, which is very complex. It's a scary disease, and we're going to continue to get scarier and scarier diseases as time comes on. You know, that's hard to say. Scarier and scarier. When you're missing a small portion of your tongue, scarier is hard to say. In all the years that I've been broadcasting, I must admit, I've had some pretty strange things occur to me. There was all the years ago, that glue, and why at the beginning of the show? Well, that's when the coffee was hot, I suppose. That's why it occurred. But believe me when I tell you, I looked down in that cup and it was boiling. Well, it had just come out of the, here in the Far East, we have these little, they're like pitchers. And you throw a little switch and that's the way you heat water here. Another piece of my tongue. I'm Art Bell. We'll be back in a moment.